hope you came to hear something today. To hear from the Lord today about what He has given and what He has done. He's given us so much. Much more than, you know, than we realize sometimes. We have been talking about, last week, we touched on about the enemy. Amen. Satan, Lucifer, didn't we? We saw how Jesus said in Luke 10:18, I saw Satan fall like lightning. And over, you know, let's turn over here for a moment. I want to go to, let me see where we are today. Sorry, I didn't get to the right place here. Here goes one note page. All right. Ezekiel 28, so we're going to go for a moment. That's okay. I've got a few pages, but they're just handwritten, so don't worry. We won't be past midnight, I'm sure. Ezekiel 28. All right. Praise the Lord. And I want us to look at verses 14, beginning at verse 14, and we see some more things here about the anointed cherub, which is referring to Lucifer. And we'll start here today and go from there, because we're realizing, first of all, we need to understand God is all powerful. Everybody say, God is all powerful. He's got more power than all the power of the devil. Amen. You didn't have to say that, but that's okay. Amen. He's all powerful. That's what we're realizing. And that we know. And when we recognize that is the character of God, that is who He is. There's no power greater than God, greater than Jesus, because He is God. Well, I thought He was a man. He is. He was and is. You know, but He's a God-man, wasn't He? He was the one that came and paid the price for all mankind. But here we see a little bit about Lucifer. Let's read here, and we'll start right here. Ezekiel 28, verse number 14. Says, Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and you have sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that thou may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to the ashes upon the earth, in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee, at Satan, at this anointed cherub. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. O Lord, hallelujah. How many are glad to hear the news? See, he was the anointed cherub. He was the one. He said, you're perfect. Satan was perfect in his ways. But the Bible says, what does it say? Iniquity was found in him, in Lucifer. This is one of the only places that the Bible talks about him as being the anointed cherub. He was one of the chief musicians in the heavens. He was close to the throne of God. But the Bible said he fell, and how many know he led some other angels with him? Why? He deceived them, didn't he? The Bible says 1/3 of the angels fell. But Satan we read last week in Luke 14, he was cast what? He's cast down to the earth. He became Satan. He no longer was that anointed cherub. He lost his place in heaven. And that's why he gets all flustered and he's all nervous. Because how many know we fill heaven? When people come to Jesus and they accept him as their Savior, then heaven begins to be populated, doesn't it? You see, it changes our heart. We don't go there just like that, but heaven comes to live in our heart. And then when we die from this earth, when we pass away from the earth, or whatever, in whatever way, we all will, right? One day, how many know we're all going to die, whether we like it or not? Someday, you'll hear that Doug Zastrow passed away. He has gone to his heavenly reward. And I'll be going, glory to God, and you'll be crying. Yeah. Why? Because we all have our own sorrow. There's sorrow on the earth, but not in heaven. I'll be rejoicing. We had a funeral yesterday, and we rejoiced over Marilyn, who went to heaven. It was a great time. Because heaven is real, isn't it? It's a place. Heaven is a real place. And it's in the presence of God that will dwell forever. Now see, we don't realize that all the time. You know, heaven's not forever. So what? No, the Bible said there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. That means the one that's there now is going to be renewed. It'll, you know, this earth is going to pass away. How many know it's going to be better than ever? As good as ever. Amen. God is in the purpose of restoring. He restored man what? To himself. He restored man to know him. Why? Because Satan in the garden, what did he do in the Garden of Eden? The Bible says he deceived Adam and Eve. He deceived them what? To partake of sin, which was disobedience against God's command. And sin entered their heart. And the Bible said their heart went from light, what, to darkness. It's that simple. They were light. They were filled and clothed with the glory of God. How many want to be clothed with the glory of God? I'm telling you, God's glory is awesome. It is so powerful. If we can grasp with our mind what that really is, amen. It is all the essence of who God is. It is the very life of God, the very nature of God, not just on their being, not just within them, but upon them. And to walk in a body that can know no sin, that has no sickness, that has no disease. They had a body that didn't decay. But the Bible says when sin came in, Adam and Eve, they died first in their spirit, on the inward person. See, all of us have a spirit. Everybody, every human has a spirit, whether they know God or don't know God, whether they have accepted Jesus or have not accepted Jesus, they have a spirit on the inside of them. And that, so that spirit, if you've accepted Jesus, is what? It is alive to God. Now we've talked about this before. We've talked about the new nature. But I'm just flowing with him for a minute. Sometimes we get on a little side journey, but it teaches us something. The spirit man was alive to God. Adam and Eve, when they were first made, God breathed in them the breath of life. As a matter of fact, the earth was perfect, wasn't it? The earth didn't have, you know, imperfections in it. It's exactly what they needed to live. It didn't look like it does today, even though it looks pretty good still. It's still under a curse. Pretty good for looking under a curse, I think. You know, but that's our natural eyes looking. We don't really understand how far man has fallen. And see, the earth is still decaying. The Bible says it is, what, groaning for redemption, to be renewed. The earth itself. And so we have the earth, and we also have our natural bodies, our own selves, which we groan within ourselves. We are looking for the day when we receive that glorified body and we're with him forever. You see, that's what Satan had here. He was covered. He was the anointed cherub. Verse 17, Satan had been, he was what? Cast out of the kingdom. You see, evil will slay the wicked. Do you know evil can slay the wicked? Think about this. Have you ever read in the book of Esther? There was a man there named Haman. And there was a man named Mordecai. Mordecai knew God. He wanted to do righteously. But Haman had an evil plot. And his own evil plot was to destroy all of God's chosen people, all of the Jews. Why did they want to kill him? Because God had these people. And Satan, how many know? He knew that through this chosen generation, the Jewish nation, the people of Israel, would come the Savior. So he's trying to stop Jesus from coming to the earth. And how many know Satan had lost his just he couldn't just come and destroy a man. He had to trick a man. Why? Because man still had the authority in the earth. God didn't take it away from man. Now man somewhat gave authority to Satan by sinning. It gave him power what? To bring sin. Sin came into the earth. Sickness, disease, sorrow. They then knew what? Good and evil. But here Satan is there. But see, the wicked Haman, he wanted to destroy the Jews. Because that's who Jesus is coming through. He's coming through God's chosen people. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, right? On down through David, through, you know, all the way up to Joseph and Mary. Where God had to send a man into the earth. Why? Because there was no righteous man left. All had sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And he needed that man to redeem mankind. We needed a Savior. Why? We had sinned. See, so all men, the Bible says, all men have sinned. All men. Because of the law, we've all fallen short of Jesus, who is God's glory. Hallelujah. You see, we had the anointed cherub was in heaven, but he was kicked out because iniquity or sin was found in him. Basically, he invented sin. Now the angels, I believe now, you know, they had their choice. They had their chance to choose. And 2/3 of them chose to stay with God. The other third, what, did not? They are separated from God and will be for all eternity. That's why God made a place called hell for them, the angels and his demons. Yeah, that's what hell is all about. For the angels, see, he didn't create it for man. But if man rejects Jesus, then he goes there too. Ooh. You know, he goes there because of his choice, not because there wasn't a way to know God. Jesus is the way, the Bible says, the truth and the life. No one comes to God but through him. It's only through Jesus that we can know God. The devil's power has been broken. Jesus made a sure example of him, destroying his power. Colossians 2, 14 and 15. I know I'm talking about him. He we'll get back. Keep your finger here in Ezekiel. I'm going to come right back there. Lord have mercy. Hallelujah. We are on a mission here. Colossians 2, in the New Testament, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, chapter 2, Verse 14 and 15 says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having what? Spoiled or disarmed principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Jesus triumphed over the power of the devil. He destroyed his, what, disarming him. He destroyed his ability to destroy man. He no longer has authority over you. He cannot destroy you unless you allow him to. Amen. And why, how do we allow him to? A lot of times it happens because of lack of knowledge. God said we're destroyed for lack of knowledge when we don't know the truth. I said to hold Ezekiel and I let it go. But Ezekiel 28. Let's go back there for a minute. All right. We see here in we were talking about verse 18. I haven't forgotten. Sometimes evil can destroy someone. See, Haman, we said, had the evil plan. He wanted to destroy all the Jews. And so he gets the king, talks the king into making a law on a certain day when he just kill them all. I mean, this could have been very much not just their area, but I mean all of them. It was very serious. But how many know God always has someone? Amen. He called a lady this time, didn't he? He had Mordecai, yes. But that was the uncle of Esther who became the queen. She was in the queen's harem. She was under the king's rule. She was under the beauty treatments with the other ladies. And king's going to choose somebody. And how many know? She said, hey, I'm going to go to the king. You didn't just walk in and talk to the king. Why? Because there was protocol. See, we go to God because of Jesus, his blood. We can walk to the throne room of heaven. However, we should use honor and respect and worship him. So there was a way that you went to the king. You didn't just walk in there. Hey, king, I'm Esther. I'm here for my interview. No, you didn't do that. You waited till the king chose you. But she says, I'm going to talk to the king. I'm going to make myself known and available, and you could be killed for that. She said, if I perish, I perish. But I want you, Mordecai, you tell them all, begin to fast and pray. And pray for me, because I want to see my people saved. But evil Haman was still there. How many know the devil's always lurking? He's looking whom he might destroy. But he cannot destroy you unless you allow him to. If you give your heart to Jesus, he'll set you free. And no power of the enemy can destroy you. You see, salvation is all inclusive. Deliverance, safety, soundness, preservation, healing, it belongs to you. That word salvation, that means we are free, not just from sin, but free from the effects thereof. Deliverance, soundness, preservation, safety, healing, all that God is access. You have access to that. Through Jesus, he makes you free. But with freedom, we said before, there's a responsibility. You see, all of Satan's power, yes, he was disarmed. But how many know he's a liar? He doesn't care about rules and regulation. He just wants to do it anyway. And he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He'll try to trick you anyway. He is the deceiver. That's one of his names. You see, his names describe his character, his activity, what he does. You know, there's over 40 different names in the Bible for Satan, really. And, you know, the enemy, the Lucifer, the deceiver. These are some of the ones that are more popular, aren't they? You know, we say the devil, pretty much. That means Diablo, the one that comes to penetrate you, to try to stop you. But when Jesus destroyed him, disarmed him, that means we now have to realize we have to enforce his defeat. That's our job, to resist him. How do we resist him? We mentioned it last week. Humble ourselves, James 4, right? Verse 6 said to humble ourselves. Verse 7, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. Hallelujah. He'll run from you as if in terror. See, he's afraid of you. If you don't realize that, you need to realize he's afraid of you. You don't need to fear him. He fears you. And if you'll fear God, he'll not be able to touch you. If he could go around killing people, he had already killed me a long time ago. Anybody ever have him lie to you? You ever hear that? I'll kill you. He can't kill you. He doesn't have the power. And if you put your faith in Jesus, he'll never be able to. Now, he could try to talk you into killing yourself. Or he could try to talk somebody else into killing you. Yeah, amen. But how many know he doesn't have the power just to come and kill you, take you out? He can't do that. Matter of fact, you have all authority over him, don't we? We've got that authority. Jesus destroyed him, dismantled him, stopped him, said, no, you can't do this. He made a show of him openly, nailing it to the cross, taking what Satan was going to use to accuse you, and he put it through the blood of Jesus. And now he says, no, now you are righteous. Now you are free. Now you have a nature, can be taught by God Almighty. Now you are his. You are a son, a child of the living King. And no weapon formed against you shall prosper if you'll stand and believe what God has said. Remember when Jesus was getting ready to cross the sea with the disciples? What did he say? Go to the other side. What happened? The storm began to come. They began to get nervous, and they were working as hard as they knew how in the flesh. How many know your flesh can't save you? Your flesh will not make you righteous. All your good acts are not good enough. Only Jesus' blood that sets us free. And as he was going over, how many remember what happened? The raging storm began to take place. They begin to be tossed and torn, and the water's filling the boat, and the boat's getting ready to sink. So they got Jesus up. He was asleep. He wasn't the least bit worried, was he? Fear did not have a hold of him. He had a hold of Almighty God. And when we got a hold of God, we can change the circumstances with a few words. He said, why are you disciples so worried? Hallelujah. Let's go over there, Mark. Mark chapter 4, I believe. Yeah. There's a lot of things going on. Hallelujah. And here Jesus, verse 35, Jesus quiets the sea. Because here I had said already, and the same day when the even was come, it's evening time, he said, unto them, unto the disciples, he says, let us pass over to the other side. And when they had set away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship, other little ships with him, other little ships are around. And there arose a great storm and wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Oh, my goodness. He wasn't worried at all. Maybe he was just tired, for that matter. But he's in the stern. He's in the back of the ship. And he's sleeping. How many remember the same thing happened to the Apostle Peter when he was in prison? They said, we're going to kill you tomorrow. And matter of fact, he was so much asleep, the angel of the Lord came to rescue him because of the prayers of the saints. They had been praying for him nonstop, kind of like we do here sometimes, hunker down and keep on praying until we get the victory. Hallelujah. And there, you remember, Peter was also asleep on the pillow. He was just laying there. Matter of fact, the angel had to slap him on the side, and he was so much asleep that even after the angel opened the door and he walked out, he finally came to himself, you know, waking up. You know, you've ever been there, you know, you get up, you know, you stumble over to the, maybe you stumble to the washroom in your house, and, you know, finally, you know, you wake up. Oh, whew, you're sleeping so hard. Jesus was sleeping so hard. It was like that. And he arose and he says to the wind and unto the sea, peace be still. Three words. You see, authority is released with words. You can say, to even to our own selves, can't we? By his stripes, I was healed. Satan, I resist you. Be gone. Desist in your maneuvers against me now. And when we are doing so because of what Jesus did at the cross, we're born again, child of the King, he must obey. We submit to God. We humble ourselves saying, hey, I can't do this on my own power, but I know a power that's been given unto me. And his name is Jesus. His name has made me free. His name has given me authority. His name is above every name, because he was seated far above all principality and rule and power and might. And the Bible says that you were seated with him in Christ, Ephesians chapter 2. He said, we are seated together with him far above all the power of the enemy. And what? Nothing. Luke 10:19, nothing shall by any means harm you. You see, we realize where Satan is now. He was defeated, cast from heaven. You said, why is that important? Because we got to understand, he's not near as powerful as you might think he is. He's trying to tease you. He's trying to trick you. His power's been broken. His power is useless. His power cannot destroy you, but the power of Jesus can destroy him and his effects upon your life. Do you understand? When we take God at his word, he will do it. The Bible said God watches over his word to perform it. And when you speak like Jesus spoke, he rebuked the winds, and then he talked to the disciples. He says, how is it? What's wrong with you? Have you not been with me so long? He said, peace be still. The wind ceased. And he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Oh, my disciples, haven't you been watching me? Well, what did they see? I was looking at this week. This is awesome. I mean, look back. Let's go back to Mark 1 for a minute. Just go back up here. What did he do? Well, first of all, he rebukes the devil. Mark 1:21 says, and when they went to Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. They recognize something different in Jesus' words. And I'm telling you, when you speak, the devil recognizes something different in your words. I have to listen to that. Why? Because we believe what God has said. And when you believe what God has said and you agree with him and say what he says, the devil has to listen to you. He must flee. He doesn't have the authority over you. And there was it in their synagogue, and here we go, a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Nazareth, art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, whom thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, hold thy peace and come out of him. You see, the disciples had seen Jesus in action. They already knew that words had power. They watched it through Jesus, didn't they? Amen. They saw it. You said, well, why did he tell them? How is it that you have no faith? Because he was expecting them to learn something as they were walking with him. Amen. He chose them. He brought them. And then if we go on here in the same chapter here, Jesus cleansed the leper, didn't he? He said, Jesus, verse 41, and Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, the leper, and said to him, I will. Be thou clean. Because the leper had asked him a question. Can you make me clean, Jesus? If you will, I believe you can. How many know God can? Amen. And then we find out God's will. Jesus said, I will. Be thou clean. It is God's desire to bring health and healing to you every single time. How many know that in this world we are subject, our bodies are subject to sickness and disease? But we have a higher law. It's called the law of faith. The law of faith can draw on the power of God. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus made us free from the law of sin and death. That means sickness and disease. See, that's part of salvation, healing, deliverance, safety, preservation, soundness. Amen. Wholeness, peace of mind. These belong to you as a child of God. Not to mention, God will take care of you financially in this natural world if we'll trust him. Amen. Hallelujah. See, they saw Jesus cast out that devil. They saw Jesus heal this leper. And then it goes on and he heals a paralyzed man. There were four men, remember? Hallelujah. How many know that story? Jesus is at the house. Let's look here in chapter 2. And he said, and again he entered to Capernaum. After some days, and it was noise that he was in the house, and right away many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them, and they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was borne by four, carried by four people. Hallelujah. How many know you need some crazy friends in your life? Get you to Jesus. You know, if somebody can't get to Jesus, maybe we need to get out and carry some of them. Four of us men can get together and carry some of these people to Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I would that it worked that way, but God's got to draw them. Amen. But they allowed him. He allowed them to carry. He was sick. He's got the palsy. He can't walk. And when they could not come near unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay, where Jesus saw their faith and said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes, and they're reasoning in their hearts. How many know reason can hurt you sometimes? You can reason yourself right out of your miracle if you're not careful. We need to trust what Jesus has said, what God has said. He says, why are you reasoning about these in your heart? What's easier to say to the sick of the palsy? Your sins be forgiven there, to say, rise and take up thy bed and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto you, arise and take up your bed and go your way into your house. They saw Jesus using the words of authority. And when the ship was getting ready to sink, he expected them to stand up and use some authority. He had given them that same authority. They walked under the same mantle with Jesus. They had gone out even from time to time, if you remember, to heal the sick. First, in chapter 3, verse 14, one of the first things that Jesus had done, it says here, verse 13 says this, and he goes up into the mountain. He calls unto him who he would, and they came to him. He was reaching out, and he was calling his disciples. He had spent the night in prayer. He had been seeking God, and God was leading him, and he was calling his disciples. How many remember what he said to Peter and John? Amen. Hallelujah. James and John, excuse me. The fishermen, they're helping their father. And he goes by them And he says, come, follow me. There was authority in those words. They left their net and followed him. How many know sometimes when we hear God's voice, we need to obey right now. Right then. I need you to pray. I need you to come. I need you to fellowship with me. I need your life. I need you to testify who I am. And if we don't obey, we lose that opportunity, don't we? Doesn't mean he won't use you. It doesn't mean God's not merciful. It doesn't mean he forgives us, but it could cost you or someone else their eternal life. Don't do that. Don't do that. Anybody ever heard that? Down on the inside. Something scratching me. Don't do that. Why? Sometimes we don't have to know why. But you know, there's people watching you when you don't think they are. Do you understand each and every one of us influences a minimum of 140 people in our life? All the time? You influence people. Why do you think they put a little logo on their little bag when you take it from the store? Right? What does it say? Ace Hardware or Home Hardware, right? Why did they put their name on there? Why did they waste the money to do it? Because they know it's going to be seen by someone else. And they influence them to go to their store. You said, man, I was carrying that bag and you didn't know it, but you influenced someone. Oh yeah, I needed to get that. I remember I needed to stop at a hardware store and get that. And they saw your Home Hardware bag and went there. We think, you know, where you buy a t-shirt and it puts, you know, they have their logo on there and you pay $10 for that t-shirt to advertise for them. Isn't that crazy? But we do it, don't we? Well, I like this t-shirt. It's comfortable. You know, we didn't care if it had somebody else's name on it. You see, we got to realize we influence. And Jesus was trying to be a influence and show the authority. And how does it work? It works with words. And that's what Jesus was showing the disciples. And then they begin to marvel. They're like, wow, even what? The waves and the sea obey them. How many know we can have authority over certain weather patterns? It's not all God. Ooh, why? Because the earth is groaning for redemption. But we have authority. Now some people say, well, I don't know about that, brother. Well, maybe you don't. But if we humble ourselves, if we draw near to God, resist the devil. Amen. Submit to him. Draw near. Resist him. He'll flee. He can't take you out. God said, fellowship with me. Abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Stay close by. Live in me. He said, it's in me we live and move and have our being. It's in Jesus. Hallelujah. There's good news for us today. We have authority. But we also have something else. It's called responsibility. That means it's not all up to God. Now, brother, I thought Jesus paid the price. He did. He paved the way. But how many know today, right now, there's some people that refuse his way. They refuse Jesus. God made a way for every man to come to God. You know, that's, you ever think about that? The price for sin was paid. The price for every human. All is forgiven. Come to God. But they have to individually choose. You have to choose and say, yes, I need a Savior. I realize that. I know Jesus died on the cross for me. I know that he was buried. I know that God raised him from the dead 3 days later. But yet, we must each individually. The Bible says, whosoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How can they call what? Without a preacher. How can they preach unless they're sent? Oh, glory. That means there's some senders in the house. That means there's some people that are willing to testify for Jesus in the house. Now let people hear the good news. Jesus paid the price for you. He loves you. He wants you to come to heaven. But he can't make you, and he won't make you. But if you'll choose him. See, God didn't have to make a way back to himself. He didn't have to redeem man, but he chose to. He did it. You say, well, I didn't want to be born in the fallen race, and neither did I. I didn't want to either. But that's where we are. We have fallen from God through sin, through Adam and Eve, right? Amen. He passed it down. But authority has been given to us. And the devil can't have us if we'll draw to God, draw near to him, if we'll come to him. We'll say, yep, I need you, Jesus. I need you in my life. I humble my heart. Forgive me of sin. That just means to miss the mark. Sin is just an active rebellion against God, or it might be a passive indifference. I don't care if God's there or not. We see a lot of those people, don't we? Well, I don't believe God's there. You know, no big deal. No, it's a big deal. If you resist him, it's a way of resisting him. Maybe it's passive, but you're still resisting him. He wants you. He made a way for you. Hallelujah. Boy, I'm on that today. He made a way for all of us. And once we get born again, he doesn't want us to leave us the same, does he? He wants us to continue to mature, to be more and more like Jesus. Yeah, we're born again. We receive a new nature, but how many know it's not full grown? Any babies in here that were, any people in here? You're just born an adult, weren't you? You know, no, we were all born babies, weren't we? We had to grow. We had to mature. We had to learn. We had to develop. It's not just about learning what the Bible, about learning scriptures in the Bible, is it? But it's also learning about having the right attitude. Having our heart toward God, knowing who he is. See, when we're born, we get to know our mom and dad, don't we? You begin to love them. Why? Because they care about you. We learn to trust them. Why? We're in their care. We know they'll feed us. We know they'll take care of us. We don't ask questions about it. We just kind of expect it, don't we? As a child, growing up, we should expect our father. He'll take care of us. He's going to lead you and guide you and father you and help you to mature, what? To become a responsible soldier in the kingdom. Where you're a devil stomping, mountain moving. Amen. Word of God preaching and teaching. A witness for Jesus. Walking in all authority. With the words that he's given us. Amen. See, when he comes against us, a lot of times, you know, we don't want to sit down and cry. You know, sometimes we feel that way. Anybody ever felt like that? I think I'm just going to have a pity party. Feel sorry for myself. And what do we find out? Nobody comes to my pity party. Nobody. Nobody likes a pity party, do they? They want to see you rise up. No, Satan is not going to destroy me. I get my words working for me. I resist you. Spirit of poverty, go from me. Spirit of lack, go. I declare abundance be. And it can be that simple for God to get started. I say I'm blessed. Well, how do you know you're blessed? Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I have all things that pertain to life and godliness. My Father cares for me. That's why he died for me. He sent Jesus because he cares for me. I cast all my care on him. Why? He cares for me. 1 Peter 5. Hallelujah. Humble myself. I say, Jesus, your Lord. And I allow you to reign. I'm going to take my place. I'm going to be seated with you far above the power of the enemy. And I'm going to let my words speak. I'm going to use the authority God's given me. Amen. How many are going to use your authority a little bit more? Amen. Sometimes we forget, you know, the last resort is what? Oh, I think I'll pray about that. You know, after we've asked everybody else and they don't have your answer. Yes, Lord, I submit to you. I'm humbling my heart. I need an answer. Not always. Many times we go to him first, but there are times when we have asked everybody else. I've done it. You know, what do you think's the best? What do you think I should do in this situation? How about you? You know, whoever you know, right? And how many know they don't have your answer, but God does? When we take a little time to spend with him, to pray, to seek him, to read his word, to speak the truth, and get his answer. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we were encouraged a little bit today. Were you encouraged today? Do you have authority? Yes, amen. Luke 10:19, he's given us what? Authority. To tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. All the power of the devil. Glory to God. He cannot defeat you. Verse 18, the one right before that. Luke 10:18, Jesus said, I saw Satan what? Fall like lightning. Oh, Satan, your power's been destroyed. He is in trouble. It's not fear. Fair to feel sorry for him today. Don't feel sorry for him. Amen. But his power is broken. Sometimes we think we want to, but there's no redemption for him. He's lost forever. And if you follow him, you'll be lost forever. But if you follow Jesus, amen, you'll have a heavenly home. You'll have eternity with him forever and ever. Hallelujah. How many want to rule and reign with him? How many are looking forward to that day of a glorious new body? Amen. It's coming. He's coming. He's coming in glory and he's coming in power and he's coming back in the natural too. It's all going to happen. It's getting ready to take place. I'm telling you, there's going to be some showdowns here in 2024. We're getting close. Getting closer every day. Keep staying in there. Stay in prayer. Be ready. I just have a sense God's going to roar. I know the enemy's already been roaring, but God's getting ready to roar and some things are going to change. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for the authority that we have in Jesus. That Satan has no power over us. That when we call upon your name, all authority goes with us. And that you back up that name with power. We thank you, Father, that all authority belongs to you. And you have given it to us to use, Father. We are your agents of authority in the earth. And when we speak what you say, things happen. Things change. Sickness flees. Satan runs. And your glory is seen. We thank you for it. In the mighty name above all names, the name of Jesus. Amen, amen.